water there in the last 2 days.
Okay, thank you. Clay, thank you for that message.
Yes.
And all the other messages. You know, it's nice to be around family, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Real family. I know what it was like. I lived in North Carolina for over 50 years. And it's hard to believe I've been in West Virginia almost five. And Sandy said the other day when we went back, we went to see one of my granddaughters for her birthday party. And it's just not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same. West Virginia's home. That's West Virginia's home.
You like it,
huh? Yeah, we love it. We love it. You know, the Lord's good to us, isn't
it? Yes,
I'm glad, Walter, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
Invite me into your home.
Yes, sir.
And we can come and we can sit and talk about our Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for the meals. Ladies, I know it's a lot of hard work. And men, for everything you've done, for the preparation. Thank you for your generosity, your kindness. Thank you for the rooms. It's just amazing. I feel humbled to just been here. My heart is rejoicing. You know, as preachers, most of the time, I heard Henry say this one time, we're preparing the meals.
Yeah.
He said, it's nice to come in and sit down
where
somebody else has prepared the meal.
Yes, sir.
And you can just feast.
Yeah, amen.
Always remember this, your pastor, he needs to hear preaching as much as you do.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He does. It's amazing, isn't it, how God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe.
Yes, sir.
Not just in the initial act of regeneration, but he keeps saving us.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
We've heard Ephesians 4 how many times? But now we hear it again? Because we forget.
Exactly.
We forget. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. And I hope I can just kindly pick up where Clay finished. And I'll begin reading in verse 2. But before I do, I want you to think about something. Can you imagine what it was like before John the Baptist came on the scene?
Yeah.
God kept him in obscurity for years. And I can't remember, maybe somebody can help me afterwards, how long his ministry was, but it probably wasn't real long. But you know, he served that purpose for the body.
Yes, sir.
He had one purpose. He said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. But you think about this man. Here's a man over here in the Jordan River putting people under the water.
Yes, sir.
This has never happened before.
Right. Yeah.
Don't you know people were talking about it? What's he trying to do, drown them? You know, but you imagine, you think about it. I got to thinking about this. I'm going, it would have sure got people's attention. I know that God has always had his elect, and there's always been believers, and he's never been without a witness. We know that they was Zacharias and Elizabeth, and they was Mary and Joseph, and they was Simon in the temple and others. They were, but as a whole, it was just dead religion.
Exactly.
You think about this. God had not spoke for 400 years.
That's right.
And God's getting ready to break in on the scene.
Amen.
Exactly.
You know, that's what he said in back in Malachi. He said, behold, I will send my messenger. I will send my messenger. And he will prepare the way before me. He prepared the way.
Yes,
Christ didn't just come on the scene. God was preparing these people. And John's standing there in that river that day. And he said, there he is.
Yeah.
There he is. He's not taking you to the temple. John's not taking you to the temple offering up sacrifices. He's not preaching the law.
No, right.
The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He said, there he is. That's the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
And that's what preaching is. Pointing those people to him.
Amen.
But what I want you to think, can you imagine when people begin to hear this? I've never heard anything like this before. It's all been do, do, do.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, verse 2 of Matthew 11, and when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And I've heard people explain that away. Only John knows what he meant in the Spirit of God. But he's just like us. He's a sinner.
Sure. Yes, sir. Sure.
You sitting in a prison cell and you know your head's getting ready to be cut off.
Yeah.
You would have probably had some fears and doubts and said, Lord, I need some reassurance. Are you the one, or do we look for another? Lord, in his grace, he said, Jesus answered and said, go show John again.
That's right. Amen.
Those things which you do see and hear, and Walter mentioned this the other night, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when they departed, Jesus began to say to this multitude. Now, think, what's this? This multitude of people concerning John. He said, when you went to hear John, what did you go out for to see? Now, I thought about that this morning. He didn't say, what did you go out to hear?
Right. That's right. Yeah.
What did you go out there to see? Mm-hmm. What were, now, you think about this. God's got people's curiosity up. You think what's going on. Well, Sandy, what are we going to see when we go out there?
Exactly.
What are we going to see? He said, a reed shaken with wind? A compromiser? Just whichever way the wind blows?
Right, yeah.
But what went you out for to see? Verse 8, a man clothed in soft raiment? He wasn't wearing soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in king's clothes are in king's houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet?
Yeah.
I say unto you, more than a prophet. You know, he was the last of the Old Testament prophets, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days, now I want you to see this, this is our text, and from the days of John the Baptist until now. He's saying from the time that John began preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let me just tell you what John preached. If you would turn over with me, just bear with me. I think it's Mark chapter 1. It's amazing how the gospel of Mark, it just moves right into verse 3, Mark 1, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him from the land of Judah and they of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sin. Now you're seeing all these people that are being, they're, God's showing them mercy, and they're confessing him in believers' baptism, identifying with his message. And you know, the word's going to get out. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I have indeed baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Yes, sir.
For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias that was for to come. And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Our Lord is saying that from the time of John the Baptist until now, men were in earnest to press into the kingdom of God. You imagine, I've never heard anything like this before. All I've ever heard was the law condemned me. The law was our schoolmaster unto Christ, and it served its purpose. But these, you think about this, all this multitude, a multitude of people, And I know a lot of them maybe came for the wrong reasons, but they came.
Yeah.
When you came, you come for the wrong reason too.
Oh, yeah.
I think about Rebecca when Abraham sent the servant to get a bride, remember? And the servant, he prayed and said, "Lord, I don't know which one she is. I don't know which one your elect is. And I'm just standing here by the well, and here comes Rebecca."
That's right.
You know what she was going to the well for? Just to get water.
Right.
But that day, God crossed her path.
Amen.
In Luke 12, verse 1, it said, "In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another." You know what that word innumerable means?
Yeah.
Myriads.
Yeah.
A myriad was 10,000. Mm-hmm. Imagine the picture.
Yeah.
All these thousands of people, they're gathered around.
Yeah.
They gathered to hear John. Now they're gathering around our Lord.
Yes, sir.
Around him. And it said they trod one upon another. That word trod means to trample. The violent take it by force. Here's the parallel passage in Luke 16, verse 16. "The law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it." Same word. Presses into it. What does that word mean? It means to seize. Suffer violence. Luke 13, 24, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate." Like you said, it's labor. Strive to enter into the straight gate. "I say unto you, many will say unto you, seek to enter in and shall not be able." You know what the word strive means? It means to agonize. It means to labor fervently. It means to fight. To enter into the straight gate. The word straight means narrow, constricted, closed. Be diligent. What he's saying, be diligent to use the means that God has given you. I've heard several men say this weekend, you see people that they're inquiring about the things of God. You hope that God's beginning to do a work of grace in their heart. And you know, you say, "What am I to do?" Come, sit down, or listen to God's preacher, and just sit and listen. You know, I heard Henry say one time, said, "We're guilty of saying, well, what can a sinner do? We say a sinner can't do anything." Now, hold on now. You can get you a Bible.
Right. Yeah.
We live in a day where you can get on the internet and download any message you want free.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. There's not any generation before that had that ability.
No,
we do.
I'll bet.
That's what he's striving. He said, use the means that God has given to us. Here our Lord is showing us our responsibility. I thought about preaching a message just on that responsibility. You know where man's responsibility began? With the sovereignty of God. That's where it began with. That's it. Our concern must not be what other people do or even what may happen to other people. Our responsibility is to seek the Lord ourselves, whether nobody else does or not. That's my responsibility. I'm responsible for it.
Yes,
you know, I know people say, "Well, that's just works. That's just legalism." No, that's just the scriptures.
Amen.
Like I was telling somebody, we should never be afraid to speak the plain statements from God's word. I know it's just like this. You can give a man a rope, and that same man can take that rope and hang himself.
Right.
And you can take that same rope and save a man.
That's right.
And I know this, when God does a work of grace in a person's heart, there's a difference.
Yes, sir.
It's not, he's not trying to work to earn something. It's because God's done something for him. And it's manifested. It's visible. The Amplified Bible reads Matthew 11, verse 12. "Now listen, and from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion." They are violent men.
Exactly.
They must have him. if you pulled up to your house and it was on fire, and your wife and your children was in that house, would you just nonchalantly walk around? You know what I'm saying. The violent would take it. You would kick the door down.
Yes.
To get to them, that's what I'm talking about. Let's look at these violent men. They were not like this by nature. There's none that seek after God. So why are these people gathering around our world? Why are they? Something's beginning to happen. A work of grace has begun in their heart. I heard Maurice Montgomery, he made this statement, or I heard it in an article, or read it in an article. He said, if men saw themselves sinners and saw Christ as their only hope, they would be a stampede of people trying to get to our Lord.
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't have to beg people. You don't have to prime them.
Right.
If you ever see yourself as a sinner, God ever opens your eyes and makes you see who you really are, right, not what you do, but who you are, and you see Christ, you'll run to him.
Amen.
Draw me and we'll run unto you. That's what I'm talking about. I want to show you some examples from the scriptures that illustrate this point. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? Let me go and turn there. You can, Mark chapter 5, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. You ever notice in the scriptures how many times the Lord uses children or somebody to bring those people to Christ? Jairus come because his daughter was sick.
Yeah, that's right.
My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And as Jesus went with them, much people followed him. Now what's that? It says they thronged him.
Yeah.
Pushing up on him. Mm-hmm. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, this woman's defiled. This woman can't go to the temple. And if she touched a priest, he would be defiled.
Yes, sir.
And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, we can't imagine the horror of that, and had suffered many things of many physicians. She had went to every doctor she could find.
Exactly.
Every doctor has his own prescription.
That's right.
These are pictures of false preachers.
Yes.
She went because she was needy. She was probably sincere. I can see one of her neighbors said, well, that didn't work. There's this guy over here. You need to go see him. You need to do this, or you need to do that. And she spent all that she had. She spent her last dime. And don't you know, when they got all of her money, they had no more time for her.
Exactly.
You think about what's going on in her mind. You think she's desperate. Where am I to go?
Amen.
What in the world am I to do? How in the world? And in the next statement says, when she heard about Jesus, she heard of Christ, how's she going to get to him?
Yeah.
I see our Lord as he walked. I see him. He can't even hardly move, right, because all these people are just thronging him, just crowding up against him.
Yeah.
How's she going to get to him? They're just not going to open up just like the Red Sea and let her just walk in. Now watch this. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing that virtue had gone out of him, he turned about in the press. He said, who touched me? And disciples said, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. They touched him and never touched him.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
You think about that.
Right.
And never touched him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And this woman, I can see her hand just a trembling.
Yeah.
Could this really be true? If I touch this man, I'll be healed. And she just touched his clothes.
Amen.
And she's healed.
Amen.
Immediately. You imagine how she felt.
Yeah.
But what I want you to see is she had to press through. She's striving. She's pressing. The violent take it by force. You couldn't stop that woman. You couldn't turn her away. She had to have him. And that's like it is for a believer. We have to have him.
Amen.
We have to have him. It's not dry doctrine. It's him.
Amen.
Like I was reading that article about Henry. I don't want to be guilty as a preacher to just preach about Christ and never preach Christ.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's in a person. Person. He said, "Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And behold, of thy plague," the best word she ever heard.
Amen.
Not going to the law.
Yeah.
And she touched him.
Amen.
Right.
Remember another one, and Clay made mention of this. I thought he was going to preach my sermon when he made it. Spoke about Jacob. Amen. You remember old Jacob, the old trickster. He's a conniver, and he, you know, but you know, you think about this, even when he was a baby,
yeah,
he wanted the birthright.
Yeah.
His mother said, "Why do these babies struggle in my womb? Why is it this way?" And when Esau's born first, Jacob reaches out and grabs him by the heel. That's what he did. Why? He's wanting the birthright. Then he fixes a bowl of beans or something, and Esau comes in, and he said, "Sell me a birthright." He said, "What's it good that going to do to me?" And he's making light. The birthright is Christ. That's what he's making light of. He says, "Shoot, it ain't nothing to me. It was something to Jacob." Now, we know maybe he may have got it by the wrong means, but he got it, didn't he? He got it. But then the Lord takes him over to Laban's house, and he's going to teach Jacob some things. He's going to be the worst man in him. Changing his wages 10 times. Well, then God brings him back. And one person that Jacob's going to have to face, it's not just facing God. I think God met him when he revealed to him on the ladder.
Yes, sir.
But Jacob's going to have to face Esau.
Right, that's right.
Your flesh. And Jacob sends all of his servants, all of his wives in front of him. And he's left alone. God got him alone. And God come to him in Christ and wrestled him down.
Right, sir.
There's no match here.
Yeah, exactly.
He wrestled him down. But you know why he wrestled him down?
Yeah.
He wanted Jacob to grab hold of him.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And he did. Now, won't you? I picture this. I picture our Lord. He's wrestling. He's got him wrestled down. He's got him pinned, right where he wants him. He can't scheme out of this.
Exactly.
And he acts like he's leaving. Acts like he's pulling away, and Jacob just reaches and grabs hold of him.
Yeah.
He said, "Please don't go.
Yeah.
You can't go till you bless me."
Amen.
And he says, "What's your name?" "My name's Jacob."
Yeah.
"That's who you are." He said, "Your name's no longer going to be Jacob."
That's right.
"It's Israel."
Yeah.
Did he get what he wanted?
Yes, sir.
But what I want you to see is God brought him to this place. God's doing this work of grace. This is his child. "Jacob have I loved."
Yes.
And he pinned him down so he would grab hold of him. And he did.
Amen.
The violent take it by force. I've got to have him.
Right.
You remember those two walking on the road to Emmaus?
Yes, sir.
Their hearts are broke. They thought that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Mm-hmm. They're just so confused. They've heard that he's alive. They don't believe it. and their heads are hung down, and they're talking one to another. And he shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And they don't know who he is.
Exactly.
He can walk right in our midst, and unless he opens our eyes, we will never know it.
Right.
Amen.
And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Amen.
And as they drew nigh to the village, now watch this, whither they went. It's like they're walking up the road. He's walking, they don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Not yet. But they know he opened up he read the scriptures, and he's showing them, now, who is this man?
Yeah.
And they come to a fork in the road, and he acts like he's going on. And it said, but they constrained him.
Right, that's what it said.
Constraining the Son of God?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what they said? Please don't go.
Right. Yeah.
Would you come into our house? You know what we ought to pray before we come to the house of God? Lord, come abide with us.
Amen.
Come meet with us.
Yeah.
And they said, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day's far spent. And he went in and tarried with them.
Yes, sir.
And they still don't know who he is. And it came to pass, as he said at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. You know what I think about here? You remember when Ruth came to Boaz's field? She just happened upon his field. You know what Boaz did?
Yeah.
She was sitting there at the table. He dipped it and he gave it to her.
Yeah.
And he gave it to them. Isn't that worship?
Yes.
He takes his bread, his word, and he gives it to you.
Amen.
And it came to pass at meat that he took bread, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him.
Amen.
And he vanished out of their sight.
Oh, yeah.
And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a believer, you know what that is.
Yes, sir.
Your heart burns within you. While he walked with us by the way, while he opened unto us the scriptures. We as preachers, we study and we try to prepare and we try to make notes. But I can tell you, it's only the Lord that can open up this book to your heart.
Yes, sir.
And you see him.
Yeah.
You see him. Spurgeon said he's like he's wrapped up as that little baby. And all you do is just begin to unfold it.
Yeah.
There he is. There he is. But that word where it says they constrained him. Let me say this before I give you this, that, you know, after he opened their eyes. Now, this is, the day is far spent. And what I understand, this was about a 7-mile walk. That's a pretty good walk. You know what they did? They walked right back.
Yeah,
didn't they?
That's exactly
right. Why did they do that? Just like what you said. For the edifying of the body of Christ.
Amen.
You ain't going to believe this. He sat down. And he ate with us. He's alive.
Amen.
Does that not stir your heart? He's alive. He's not dead.
That's it.
The word constrained, it means to compel by the use of force.
That's right.
You know it's used one other place in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 16. You remember Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened? What's amazing, Paul wanted to go to Asia, and God said, no, you're not going to Asia. He goes over here in Macedonia. He, in a vision, he saw a man, said, come over here and help us. So he goes over there, and guess what happened? There's a woman named Lydia. She's a seller of purple from Asia. Just so happened to be there just on business. And God opened her heart.
Yes, he did.
He opened her heart. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained them. I can see Paul said, we need to go. She said, please don't go.
That's right.
Why do you think she wanted them to stay? Would you tell me some more about him?
Amen.
About him.
Yeah.
What do we see here? We see a work of grace in that woman's heart. And she wants him more than anything else. Why did God cross her path? She wasn't looking for the Lord. She's there on business selling purple. God crossed her path. As I think about that, I think about those Lydia and the ones on the road to Emmaus. I think about the Shulamite and the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon 3, verse 1. Now listen to this. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. A bed should be a place where you lay down and rest. But in her mind, she's seeking him whom her soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city. She didn't lay there in the bed, did she?
No.
She got up.
Sir.
And she went into the city and the streets and into the broad ways, and she said, I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchman that go about the city found me, of whom I said, have you saw him whom my soul loveth? Like they're the preachers of the gospel, the watchmen of the city. And it was but a little that I passed from them. She did not rest in the means.
Yeah.
Now God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe, but don't rest in the means.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
It was a little that she passed from them, just a little. Mm-hmm. But I found him.
Amen.
Whom my soul loveth. And you know what she did when she found him? What do you think she did when she found him? I held him.
Yeah. Amen.
And would not let him go.
Amen.
And I brought him to my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me.
Amen.
Why? It's the one that my soul loves.
Yeah.
Now, I know we're not going to stand up here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But I can tell you this, if God has done a work of grace in your heart, you do love him.
Yes, you do. Amen.
Yes, you do.
There's no rivals.
No.
Like you said, everything revolves around him. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yes, sir.
Everything's for his honor and glory and for the salvation of his people.
Amen.
Those who earnestly love Christ and know their need of him do not cease to seek him and seek him diligently. Notice it says she sought him upon her bed. She sought him in the streets. She sought him in the broad ways. She sought him from the lips of the watchman. And she would not quit. Because she just said, well, I can't never find him. It'd be like you coming and reading. You say, well, I don't see nothing. You come hear Walter preach. Say, well, I didn't hear anything from that, you know. And just go on. That's your own fault.
Amen.
Your unbelief is your own fault.
Yeah.
I'd say, God, give me ears to hear.
Yeah.
Lord, make yourself known to me.
Yeah.
And then another one. You remember blind Bartimaeus?
Yes, sir.
Sitting by the wayside and begging. He's not only just a beggar, he's a blind beggar.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He has nothing. And I can see him take him out there every day, and you know he's begging for alms, and maybe somebody will show him a little mercy, give him a little money. But one day it was different. And it came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked, now what, you imagine all this multitude, he can't see it. He can't see Christ. He cried and he said, what does all this mean? And they told him that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, yeah. And when he heard that, he must have heard something about this man.
Yeah.
He had to. This is not just any man. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, the Messiah, the Prince, the King, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. You need to be quiet.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Be quiet. Can you imagine this?
Yeah.
You ain't going to make this man be quiet.
Exactly.
But they told him, you know, they're just trying to hinder you, making too much noise.
Mm-hmm.
Make too much noise. You know, you think about this. There's a man in my church, he blesses my heart. He said, you know, he said, "Preacher, sometimes when you preach," he said, "I don't mean this wrong," but he said, "you know, you see men when they score a touchdown on TV and everybody runs up, one just hugging everybody." He said, "I just want to run up and hug your neck." That blessed my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
He's excited.
Exactly.
Everybody can get excited about everything. This man said, "Tell me to be quiet." But he cried so much the more.
Amen.
"Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He said, "Well, you didn't have to scream." I know it didn't, but I want him to hear me.
Exactly.
They tell me to be quiet, I'll show them. I mean, this is it. This man, he's got to have him.
Exactly.
He's desperate. He may never walk my way again.
Right. That's right.
I've heard about this man. Nobody's going to take me to him. He came to where he was at. And don't you see this? He's walking among all these people. He's walking. And he doesn't stop. But he stops for the cry of a sinner.
Amen.
Jesus stood still.
Amen.
You remember what was it in Joshua's day? He was fighting the battle and the sun stood still. You mean the Son of God would stand still at a cry of a sinner? He did. And he commanded him to be brought to him. And he was come near, he asked him, he said, "What would you have me to do?" I'll ask you a question. Do you need him this morning? What would you have him to do for you? "What would you have me to do?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive your sight. Thy faith has saved thee." How do you know he had faith? Well, he didn't stop crying out.
There you go. Right.
Faith without works is dead. James is very clear about that, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
Faith without works, he said, "I'll show you my faith by my works." And immediately received his sight, and he followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they give praise unto God. There's many others, but you remember the Canaanite woman?
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you, many times in the scriptures, God uses afflictions. He may even use children to bring them to Christ. This woman comes for her daughter, and she's a Canaanite woman.
Yeah.
And the Lord, you know how he deals with this woman? Well, first, he just ignores her.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. How would you like somebody to ignore you? It reminds me of Naaman the Syrian when he come to Elisha, come to be healed, and Elisha don't even go out on the front porch and meet him. Man, that makes him so mad he can't stand it. You know why? Because he thinks he's an important man.
Exactly.
He's got a reputation. And here comes this woman, and the Lord just ignores her. And then she says, he said, "It's not meat to take the children's bread and give it to dogs." Could you stand to be called a dog?
There you go.
A dog? Don't call me no dog. I do some bad things, but I'm no sinner.
Right. Right.
And she says, now this is it. She said, "Truth, Lord."
Yeah. Amen.
"But I'm your dog."
Right. Amen. Amen.
"And the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Sandy has taught me to love dogs. first present I ever got her when we got married for Christmas, I bought her a boxer bulldog. And I aggravated her all the time. I said, what was I thinking? But it's so funny, that little dog, she'll come in there when we're eating, and she'll just lay her head right there on my knee and never say a word. She said, yeah, I'm your dog.
Right. That's right.
But the dogs eat at the crumbs which fall from the master's.
Amen.
He couldn't drive her off.
Right.
That's right.
Election couldn't drive her off.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And she got what she came for.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? But this violence does not end when a man finds Christ or Christ finds him. The man who is pardoned and knows it then becomes, now listen to me, violently in love with Christ.
Amen.
Like I said, me and that girl will be married 8 years this Wednesday. I've learned not to forget when the anniversary is. Just be honest, there was a lot of people that tried to discourage me from marrying that girl. And I'd sought the Lord, and I had peace that it was God's will. And I can tell you this, all hell would not have stopped me from marrying that girl. I had a lady in our church, she when I announced we were getting married, she got mad, got up and walked out. Then another lady shows up at my office the next morning with a whole list of scriptures saying, this is why you can't marry that woman. We're married, ain't we? You know what that is? Can you explain love?
No.
You know, when you two met, you fell in love. Can you explain it? You love them.
Yeah.
They what?
Never fails.
Never fails, does it? And this is what this is. Christ said, he that's been forgiven of much, loveth much. I think about the woman with the alabaster box of ointment. Our Lord said she done what she could.
Amen.
Most people think that she got this money to buy this land on her back. Every house she got it. And she may have had it for a long time. But you think about this. This is precious perfume. You know why women wear perfume? It's not because they can smell it. It's so everybody else can smell it. Said, don't you smell good? You know what she's saying? This is too costly for me. But it's not too costly for him.
Right.
Amen.
And when she broke the alabaster box and poured it on his head, now all the attention is on him.
Right. Amen.
And some believe, you know, he said, she come to anoint my body for the burial. You leave her alone.
Right. That's right.
Even Judas said, this is such a waste. We could have took this and sold it and give to the poor. Now doesn't that sound so good? He said, you leave her alone.
Right.
She's come to anoint my body for the burial. And some believe when our Lord stood before Pilate, he still has that smell upon him. It's in his hair. When he hangs upon the cross, he still has that fragrance. The tension is on him.
Yes, sir.
You know why she did it? She loved him.
Yes, amen. That's it.
She loved him.
Yeah.
Nothing's too costly. God, enable me to love you with all my heart. No rivals.
Amen.
No rivals. Spurgeon said the violent man is always successful. Here's what he said. He said only the violent are saved. And all the violent are saved. We're not trying to put everybody in a box. When God saves them, he saves them by grace, but you can't compare your experience to somebody else's.
Right.
And don't think, well, this has to happen before God saves me. But I can tell you, it's something violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes.
God saving a sinner?
Right.
Yes, sir.
God walks by you and he says, live, and you live.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And how do I know you live? You will give everything for him.
Right.
Everything.
Yes, sir.
And it's a continual, because everything else, it's like the crowd, it's like the flesh, everything tries to hinder you. It's like you said, coming to church, your flesh says, well, I just don't feel like going this morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many times would I have just liked to lay back down in the bed?
Yes, sir.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
But why didn't you?
Yeah.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. That love that's in your heart, you didn't generate it and you don't keep it.
Yeah.
You know what he does? He fans the flame.
Yeah.
He'll let you. Why was that woman seeking him?
Yeah.
Why is it when you lay down and you think about him?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't come from you.
No. No.
That was him.
Yeah.
When you think about him, his mercy, his grace. Something else. You remember those four lepers in 2 Kings chapter 6? Let me tell you the story. The city was shut up. There was a famine. And the prophet, I think it was Elisha, told them, said, 24 hours from now, bread's going to be cheap. And somebody said, you're crazy. You're crazy. But they were starving to death in that city because the Assyrians had the city shut up. But between the Assyrians and the city were these four lepers.
Yeah.
They're not accepted anywhere. They're thinking in their mind, well, what are we supposed to do? If we stay right here, we'll die. If we don't do anything, we'll die. They say, well, we can't go into the city, and the city's a picture of religion. It's just death. They can't help us. And they said, well, why don't we just go and to the Syrians. Maybe they'll show us mercy. If they kill us, well, we're going to die anyway. You see what's going on in their mind? They said, if we sit here, we'll die also. Now, therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Assyrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose in the twilight to go to the camp of the Assyrians, and when they come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Assyrians, behold, everybody's gone.
Yeah.
Everybody's gone. I love that story. You know, then they're sneaking around. They go into the tents and they carry something out, and it's like they're afraid somebody's going to come get it from them, and they're over here hiding it. And somebody says, what are we doing? Why should we keep this to ourselves? And they run out there to that city and they said, the Syrians are gone. And they opened the gates, and that one man that told Elisha said, you're crazy. The meal's not going to be cheap. He's standing there opening the door. You know what they did? They trampled him. Why did they trample him? The violent take it by force. They've heard that there's food out here and they're going to get it. They're starving to death. And if you're dying in religion and you hear about Christ, you'll run from it. I heard Henry say one time, said, how long will a man go to a table where there's no food?
Exactly.
Yeah. He says, when he gets hungry, he'll leave.
That's exactly right.
Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after their hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I must forever die. If God ever makes you willing in the day of his power, you will seek him with all your heart. You will seek him while he may be found, and you will seek him where he is to be found. Amen.